Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Adrian has to work today, so she extends her greetings. Mrs. being here with you.
Morning, even though I can't see you through the pile of coveralls and layers.
Well, you can be assured I won't be calling on you.
The front row is open, Adrian.
Alrighty. Well, this morning I wanted to bring a second message on a title of something I've preached on before, and that's the signs of the end of the age. You can't cover them all in just one message, so I'm going to bring ones that hopefully we haven't talked much about before, at least in that last message. And I think what's been impressing me recently is how time is marching on. God has got a plan. He's pushing history towards the present and what is going to happen and towards the future. And really, if you think about it, a lot of our dissension in our society is we're trying to hang on to the way it was. Mm-hmm. You know, we want it to be the way it was, the way we were used to, you know, the way we had it. But, you know, time can't be rolled backwards. You know, you can't turn back the clock. We know that. But, I mean, we got to get it in here and realize. And if that's true, you know, what do we do? And the answer, in short, is it's just time to grow. It's time for us to grow spiritually and adjust not only to change, but rather look ahead and see what part God wants us to play. What's He got in front of us? We're not going to be able to stop the clock. We're not going to be able to change the future because God's got it laid out already. But we can participate and we can make a difference in individuals' lives. And that's what I hope we walk away with today. The time is going to march on. And that this spiritual war between Satan and God over the humans that He created and the kingdom of the world, this battle has raged for 6,000 years. And it's heating up. And it's racing forward to that final battle. Satan, his demons, and those who are earthly accomplices, you know, those who are participating with Satan and the demons, are pulling out all the stops as they seek to take control of the earth and usher in the one world political, economic, and religious system which is prophesied in the future. We've all heard those terms. The momentum of the signs of the end of the age is too far advanced to see a retreat, to expect a retreat. Does that statement make sense?
Yeah.
And before we dig into these signs, I'm going to expose 10 or 11 of them. But before we do that, I want us to go ahead in time. I want us to jump ahead to the last part of the tribulation. You know, it's a 7-year period for the tribulation. And there's a bunch of events that happen. I want us to jump ahead to basically the last event before Jesus returns. So turn with me to Revelation 18. Revelation 18. Revelation 19 is where Jesus returns. And again, just for clarification, when we say Jesus returns, what we mean is He's returning from heaven to the earth, all the way to the earth, and He fights this battle of unrighteousness. This is not the same thing as the rapture when He gathers up His church, His bride, 7 years earlier. So that's what I mean when I say return. Are you there in Revelation 18?
Yeah.
All right. The fall of Babylon. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was made bright with his glory. Think about that. We'll be watching this from heaven, not on earth, but just think about it. Verse 2, and he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality. And the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living." Wow.
I nailed it.
I don't know about you, but you know, this sure speaks to me about the United States of America being like Babylon. You know, this fitting this description as we read through it, you might even think that more so. But I think that the scripture is looking beyond geographical boundaries. It's looking into the hidden source that controls the world. And we know that Satan is the prince of the air, and there's spiritual powers and authorities working that we can't physically see. We know they're there, we sense them, we maybe experience them. And even though I say this about America, you know, wow, this fits America, you know, like you, we all love America. Yeah. I mean, it's the greatest country around.
Hallelujah.
But the truth of the matter is, our country exports all manner of evil through the governmental giving to other countries, through our businesses and our social media. I've been in Africa, and I've been talking to the churches, and they've been given a choice to receive money that was given to that nation from America, but in order to receive it, they had to do certain things, like promote abortion, promote homosexuality, all kinds of things that to the African is just detestable. And that's the condition for receiving money that they need to, for their people to get well, to be healed, to go to hospitals, things like that. And just like scripture says here, other countries have become rich from America's resources. Think about China and Japan, you know, how they've grown over the decades and become rich and powerful and wealthy nations. And that's not a judgment, it's just a fact. I mean, they have grown rich, but Babylon, the literal location of it isn't really as important, I think, as the principle of it. I know a lot of people like to figure out where, well, Babylon is this and Babylon is that. But I think what's most important to God for us to know is what Babylon represents. This Babylon is the source of wickedness. And it could just as easily be companies like, I don't know, Facebook, Google, Amazon.
Metaverse.
Yeah. It's not so important, the geographical boundaries. Revelation 18 that we're reading about is about commercial Babylon. Revelation 17, the chapter before this one that we haven't gone through, is about ecumenical Babylon. In other words, one world religion Babylon. Let's continue on. Verse 4. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues. For her sins are heaped as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed, as she glorified herself and lived in luxury. So give her a like measure of torment and mourning. Since in her heart she says, 'I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see.' For this reason her plagues will come in a single day. death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire, for mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. Again, I think it would be hard to say that another country, another nation has lived as sensually as the United States has. You know, we've created all of this technology, and we export it, and we export the evil use of it. But, you know, on the other side, I don't have the same vision God has. So, you know, I think judgment starts at home. You know, we need to recognize what we've done wrong, what we've been a part of, and repent of it. Continue on, verse 11. Verse 11. And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys her their cargo anymore. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of costly wood, bronze, iron and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle and sheep and horses and chariots, and slaves, that is, human souls. Is there a cup of water back there anyone could grab me, please? All of these things that are listed are everyday commodities. You know, the things that we buy and order. Things that are shipped from one place to another, from one country to another. 14, the fruit for which your soul long has gone from you, and all of your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again. Thank you. Excuse me. Fifteen. The merchants of those wares who gained wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud. Alas, alas, for the great city that is clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels and with pearls, for in a single hour all its wealth has been laid waste. Can you imagine? And all shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors and all those whose trade is on the sea stood far off, and they cried out as they saw the smoke of her burning. What city was like this great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned and cried out. Alas, alas, for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth. For in a single hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. So towards the end of this seven-year tribulation, this wealthy Babylon and her merchants can no longer sell because buyers can no longer buy. There are significantly fewer buyers. I don't know. I think maybe this year this means something to us, because for the first time in our lifetime, we've been to stores and the shelves are empty. I mean, we think we're deprived. I'm not, you know, we shouldn't feel that way. But, you know, the truth is, that's not something we've experienced. We haven't seen that. And I think it helps us envision this time period that we're reading here in Revelation 18, when there'll be shortages and famines, and ships won't be able to get to port, and people won't be able to buy. You think there's a severe worker shortage now? By then, billions of people have been killed. You think you are mad at CenturyLink now? Wait till that happens. I hope they don't listen. Notice I didn't say visionary. Just, you know, I think if you've seen some of the news documentaries where the ships are sitting out in the ports now, just lined up waiting to get in, you know, that's the kind of the vision I have of this moment here. You know, they're all out there, they're in the sea, they can't dock, and they can't offload their goods, and nobody's buying them, and they see where they're headed to on the shore, and it's on fire, and that's what I kind of envision. All right. Let's finish up this chapter, verse 21. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And the craftsmen of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will be heard in you no more. You know, this is the only saving grace is left during this period of time. You know, the bridegroom is up in heaven, but people are getting saved during this period of time, and it's been snuffed out by the Antichrist. And it will be no longer seen in Babylon. Babylon is being destroyed right here in this chapter. Partway through 23. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth. And again, I think if there's ever a time when we can envision what this means, when we've seen over the last couple of years the prominence that the online companies have taken, like Amazon and Facebook and Google and on. I mean, they are richer than most of the countries in the world. Mm-hmm. And this all of a sudden makes sense. They're the merchants. They're the great ones of the earth. They have a power that has never been seen by a commercial organization. And verse 24, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints, and of all who have been slain on the earth. This seven-year tribulation period is not a kumbaya moment. It's not a camp out. It's not a picnic. It's not a walk in the park. It is something that we do not want to be at. We do not want our family and friends to be there. And the only way to avoid it is to be born again, to say yes to Jesus now.
That's right.
Before it happens.
Amen.
Next slide. Okay, as promised, some more signs of the end of the age. So we just read of this last major event that's going to happen before Jesus returns, and we see kind of the culmination of the judgments and the wrath and the damage that has been happening through the tribulation. And we're constantly asking, well, how do we know when this is going to start? I mean, you know, when? When's it going to happen? And when I hear people telling me, oh, this is going to be the end of the world, or this is when it's going to happen, we want to have a knowledgeable understanding of when that is and what that is. So God has said he's giving us signs that we will recognize. He's not giving us an appointment on our calendar. He's giving us signs so that we will recognize it. We will be seeking him and praying about what's happening here. Is this what you're talking about, God? And what's going to happen next? Lately, when I've been going to bed, one of the last questions I ask God is, God, show me what the next signs are that are coming. And I probably fall asleep, and I just know that he answers it and downloads it on me all night. And then I wake up, and I'm ready to go, and I've got some kind of idea. So these signs are not based on Nostradamus or the National Enquirer. They're taken out of the books in the Bible, Matthew 24, Ezekiel 38, Daniel 7 and 9, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and Revelation 18. So we're not going to go through all those scriptures, but if you've been reading the Bible for a period of time, you'll recognize some of these. And if you have any questions, later on, go ahead and I can send you particular scriptures on what your question might be. Hopefully you won't try to pin me down during the message on where it came from. Alrighty, so these are signs for the world, not the kingdom. Okay? Because, again, we're going to be gathered up and taken to heaven. So these are signs for the world, what's going to happen. And when it does happen, they'll be able to look back and say, oh, that's what that meant. I should have believed it then. All right, so number one, the world has to be conditioned to the rule of the Antichrist. Mm. The tribulation is too short of a period of time for the Antichrist. He doesn't have time to condition the world then. What am I saying? I'm saying things that are happening now need to happen, need to be put into place. People's attitudes and thoughts, the technology, all of those things need to be put into place. People need to be used to them happening. Were any of us alive at a time when we were mandated to have to wear a mask? No. Were any of us alive when we were mandated to have a vaccine? Regardless of what you think about them, it never happened. But it is happening now to condition us for what is going to happen during the tribulation. And again, I'm not saying, you know, this is the Antichrist or this is the mark of the beast. It's not. I mean, hear me, it's not. But we're conditioning the world to be used to these things. Mm-hmm. Look how long it took. It took us a couple years to get conditioned. The Antichrist, when he comes on the stage, he doesn't have that much time. So that's kind of a pre-tribulation conditioning or sign. Whoa. So, number two, Christians around the world are being martyred every day. Yeah. Who cares? I mean, how big a news is it? It is not front page news. The only way you're going to know about it is if you read Christian News or Voice of the Martyrs or you follow that kind of thing and read international news. And I'm saying it from a sadness. Who cares? Because during the tribulation, who cares? You know, the people that take the mark of the beast, the people that are following the Antichrist, they don't care if the Christians die during that time. In fact, they will help kill them. Number three, authoritarianism is subduing capitalism. And that has to happen in order for the Antichrist to have a one world rule. People have to get used to being told what to do and not having freedom to make your own choice. Because that's what happens during the tribulation.
That's what they want, though.
Number four. People must be defined as good and bad and separated into those separate camps. Because again, during the tribulation, those who do not take the mark of the beast are bad. Those who take the mark of the beast are good. And public opinion, in order for the Antichrist to rule the world, has to have a large public opinion to help him in defining who's good and who's bad. And this good and bad is being decided by world standards, not the Bible. In fact, this is just kind of my thought. We'll see if it pans out, but we see so much people are migrating from one place to another, you know, moving from one state to another. Why? It's only because of politics and maybe religion.
Money.
Politics
Money.
And religion. So people are gathering like kinds around like kind. Mm-hmm. And again, I can't think of any time during my lifetime where this has happened like this. And that has to happen during the tribulation. Five, the world has to be conditioned into obedience of government rule and demonstrate it by a mandated physical thing. In the future, in the tribulation, that will be the mark of the beast. Today, we're being mandated and told to do certain things, and that's how the government, or worldwide, I'm not just talking about America, you know, worldwide, mm-hmm. that's how they're measuring whether their countries are ready. Mm-hmm. The current technology that we have, which is meant to enforce vaccinations, will later lead directly to the fulfillment of the mark of the beast in Revelation 13. Mm-hmm. Tracking on your phone of your friends and neighbors, whether they've been vaccinated? I mean, wow. You know, the technology in that is fascinating, and it can be used for good. I mean, I was with some kid, some over the last week or two, and you said, well, it's okay, my parents know right where I'm at. They got my GPS on my phone. They know when I'm heading home and all that. So it can be used for good. And so I'm not saying that it's the mark of the beast now. What I'm saying is that technology is conditioning us as a society. Number six, all the nations will be deceived by pharmakia, sorcery. That's what sorcery is pharmakia. They'll be deceived by that during the tribulation. So drugs will be a key means of deception during the tribulation. And again, don't get me, I'm not saying medication is the Antichrist right now. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying when we get into the tribulation, these things will happen. Seven.
So like if you've enjoyed these last 2 years, don't worry about it. But if you haven't, you better be praying now. Save me.
The Bible states that the Antichrist makes his appearance on the world scene and confirms a covenant with many. And that's hard to do if the nations around the world aren't joined in thought, joined in practice. And COVID has facilitated that conditioning worldwide. I don't think we've ever seen a time where all the nations are cooperating on something, almost trying to outdo one another. So they're coming into an agreement worldwide over to just a small handful, maybe a couple of vaccines. In order to enter their country, all the nations are agreeing on whichever ones those are. In Daniel 7:7, the ten horns receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour during the tribulation. Again, that can only happen if these nations have been cooperating together and they're raised up and given that authority. Number eight, the abomination of desolation. Have you heard that term from Daniel 9:27 and Matthew 24:15? Jesus spoke about it. The abomination of desolation, excuse me a second. Abomination of desolation is when the Antichrist stands up in the Jewish temple and declares himself God. Sacrifices, we think it'll be a pig because that's offensive to the Jewish mentality. He stands up, declares himself as God. That's halfway through, 3.5 years through the 7-year tribulation. That temple does not exist right now. But that third temple is already planned. It's all the parts and pieces are already assembled and waiting to be installed and constructed. So that has to happen. It will happen. It will happen in short order. And the Antichrist, one of the first things he does is he allows the Jews to restore their sacrifice so that halfway through, he can come in and be that abomination of desolation. That temple cannot happen. That abomination of desolation cannot happen unless Israel is a country. Prior to 1948, Israel wasn't a country. They were dispersed all around the world. And after World War II, when Israel became a country, Jews from all over the world have been coming back to their country. That had to happen, has to finish happening for this sign to occur. Number nine, the Antichrist comes when peace and security is being shouted. Think of that. He comes during a time period when everybody is saying peace and security. You know, everything's okay. Don't worry. I know that one might be a little shocking to you, so if you're on, write down 1 Thessalonians 5:3. That's where that one comes from. And so I want to ask you, how many of you have seen recently where a peace and security statue was donated to the UN and erected? That's what it was called, peace and security statue.
Yeah.
There's a picture of it right up here on the, maybe I don't know if you can see it. It's the one with the lion there with the wings, the leopard. Check it out. The Apostle John saw a beast, and it was described in Revelation, that looked like a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. Is that what that looks like?
Oh, yeah.
Daniel said that he saw a beast which was like a lion that had eagle's wings. So this statue was made by a country and given to the UN, and they put it up out there under a peace and security theme. Number 10. Religion has to become ecumenical. What do I mean by the word ecumenical? Ecumenical means that all religions are welcome, all religions are right. We all get together no matter what your religion says. That's ecumenical. So, during the seven-year tribulation, the Antichrist, who exalts himself as God, who positions himself as God, needs to have a world of people in a religion that will accept him as the God, that will not have a definitive conviction that Jesus is the only way. The only way. So this has to happen. That's when we talk about the one world religion. So something needs to be happening prior to the tribulation. There's not enough time during the tribulation for all of the religions of the world to get together and agree, because, like we said last week, week before, I mean, fact of the matter is, a lot of wars are started over religion, right? So they have to get together to become this one world religion. Well, do you know, under the guidance of the Pope and many other religious leaders, there's a one world religion complex being constructed right now in the United Arab Emirates. And it's going to open in 2022. Wow. And it's called the Abrahamic Family House. Abrahamic Family House. Why would they choose that name? It's because Christians trace their lineage through the Jews back to Abraham. Muslims trace their lineage back to Abraham. Catholics trace their lineage back to Abraham. So Abraham, wow, we can all agree on the one Abraham. Ecumenical. So the website for the Abrahamic Family House is, and there really is one, go check it out, says that it will be a beacon of mutual understanding, harmonious coexistence, and peace among people of faith and goodwill. Well, that sounds nice, doesn't it? And they'll have values shared between Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. So that is coming. So one world religion is making its way. Okay, and the final sign, 11. The Gog-Magog War. We read about this in two different places, and I'm of the opinion that it's two different wars, or it's a war of two different times, maybe. That'd be the better way to say it. We read about it in Ezekiel, and we read about it in Revelation. But they use the names of three countries that we're familiar with right now, and that is Russia, Iran, and Turkey. If you've been following the news, you see how those three countries are beginning to work together politically and militarily. That has to happen before the tribulation can really get in full swing. So they form a close alliance that will lead to the future invasion of Israel. And it's the prosperity of Israel that will cause this group to invade. Remember, when Israel claimed and took back their nation in 1948, it was a wasteland. It was a desert. Nobody wanted to live there. They took it back, and now it's wealthy and it's luxurious. It's powerful. They have incredible stores of gas and oil, and you're going to see prior to the tribulation that Israel is planning, and they will probably start doing it, bombing Iran's nuclear facilities. I mean, that's on their plans for 2022.
They've already bombed Syria.
Yeah. Okay. So, these are more signs of the end of the age, the coming of the tribulation for the world. These are signs for the world, not so much for the kingdom. Yeah. Because, you know, we know that Jesus is coming back, right?
I mean, amen.
And it's just a question of when. Next slide. So what I want to talk about, now that we've heard all the good news or bad news, whatever you call it, what should we be doing between now and then? Well, I love what this guy is doing. His name is Sean Fuchs. He's from California. And during this whole COVID period, he's been going around doing these outdoor worship events called Let Us Worship. When they were churches were told to shut down, he said, okay, fine, we'll go do it outside. And this guy has the gall to just go around. He sets up all these outdoor worship times across the country, and they worship outdoors. I love it. He says, he's been on the news. In fact, he ran for the House of Representatives in California. But he, of course, he got cut out on the primary because he talked about Jesus too much. Yeah. But he says that God is the answer and the hope for America.
Amen.
And I think no matter what we, you know, if we don't agree with some of his theology, which I don't, but I do agree that God is the answer for America. And I do agree that I love his spirit. Okay, fine. We're going to go outside and we'll worship Jesus. Take that. I love that. He says, it wasn't America that founded religious liberty. Religious liberty founded America.
Amen.
Huh? Yes. I mean, that is so simple. It's profound. Yeah. And he says it's essential to who we are.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah.
The next guy that I think is just hitting the ball out of the park is Dallas Jenkins with this movie, The Chosen. This week, they debuted in France on a major TV network. You know, France is not known as the most Jesus-friendly country. And they're on a mission to reach 1 billion people worldwide. And the actor that plays Jesus, Jonathan Rumi, says, the experience of playing him has made me want to be more like him.
Yeah.
And when I read that quote, all I could think of is that song, a little more like Jesus, a little less like me. Huh? Amen. So these are two guys that are going around and they're living out their faith. And they just want to bring people to Jesus. And we can't change God's plans. The world is going to go like it's going to go. But we can impact people's lives.
Amen.
Okay, last slide. All right, so what's the relevance of this message today? Turn with me to the left from Revelation to a one-page book called Jude. Today's message that we read is basically advance notice to everyone. Not just the saints, but to everyone, the whole world. It's advance notice. God has said in here, this is what's going to happen. This is what I'm going to do. And this is what you should do. It's advance notice. It's pretty simple. But not everybody has read the Bible. It's up to us to communicate it to people. Mm-hmm. And the second part of it is, it's encouragement. It's an exhortation to us saints to remain faithful. Mm-hmm. Remain faithful and worship God. The sad thing is, some of us are going to lose our life by remaining faithful. Over remaining faithful. And we just need to have that conviction, that spiritual conviction that, you know, my life is yours, Jesus.
Amen.
And come obey. Amen. Are you there, Jude?
Yep.
Read verse 5. It's only one chapter. So verse 5 says, now I want to remind you. In other words, he's already spoken this to him. He says, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt. He's speaking, reminding them about the time that the Israelites were released from slavery from Egypt. Remember that? Moses and all that good stuff and the sea parting and them going through. And but he said that afterward, Jesus destroyed those who did not believe. It's just facts. When the Jews were brought out into the wilderness, it wasn't destined to be a 40-year journey. It's because so many of the people did not believe. So they wandered around the wilderness for 40 years, and that whole generation died out before they could go back in. It's the cold, hard fact. Same thing here in the world. We've been cruising through the world for 2,000 years, and those of us who believe are going to be taken into the promised land. That's another name for heaven. And those who don't believe are going to be destroyed. It's a fact. You may have a hard time accepting that. You may think, well, how can a good God do that? But he makes this home available to every single person, makes himself known to every single person. And we have a responsibility to communicate this to people. It's not like we're pushing something on them. We're giving them the key to life, mm-hmm. eternal life. Yes. Okay, go down to verse 17. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time, there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who can cause divisions. Worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God. So as this earth and history rolls towards this tribulation, we are supposed to keep ourselves in the love of God. And part of that is loving others. Even though we might be mad, we might be angry, we shouldn't be, we might not like what they do or say or stand for, but we are to share the love of God with them. Continuing on with 21, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Are there people in the world that doubt that all of this is real? Oh, yeah. Are there Christians who doubt that it's all real? Oh, yeah. You know, just because when we get born again doesn't mean we know the whole Bible. Doesn't mean we're convicted on all the things the whole Bible. That's what sanctification's about. We have to learn. We go through it. And so we Christians shouldn't be judging other Christians if they have some doubts. We should have mercy on them.
I struggle with, do I have enough faith? But then I hear the people who walked through the river with the water being held to either side, get on the other side, and then lose their faith. Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Yeah. You know? Amen.
You're crazy.
So have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire, and to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Why? What's that? Fear, because we know that there's a God who is going to roll out his wrath at some point. And we fear that. We respect that. We're in awe. We know that God is God. And we want to see people yanked out of the fire. You know, that says to me that somebody is so far gone, they're in the fire while we're still here on earth. We need to be, you know, trying to yank them out, have mercy on them. And those who, you know, as we roll close to this time of the tribulation, you know, that we see that they're saved. We know we have family and friends who we've been preaching to for years and years and years, and they're still not saved. You know, let's not give up. Let's keep that in mind, because there's going to come that time where we might just be snatching them out of the fire. So the time to grow is now. I don't know that we have that much time. We need to grow so that we can do the things that Jesus wants us to do. Amen. Alrighty. Amen. Well, this went on a pretty good long time. I see some faces are shocked. Whoa, that's a...
Isn't there a part where it says that the tribulation will not happen until the gospel is preached to all corners of the earth,
mm-hmm.
or roundness of the earth?
Yeah, yeah.
So we still have that, so we've got to get that out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the worst that's going to happen if we don't work?
Exactly. Exactly.
We're with Jesus then.
Right.
So there's nothing to fear.
Right.
You can't threaten us with heaven.
Yeah. That's a good one.
I had a friend that was dying of cancer, and I'd say, how are you doing? I suppose you can't threaten me with heaven.
Yeah. Amen.
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 Yeah.
All righty.
I think it's interesting, too, is like, you know, what she was talking about the gospel being preached, which is true, but, you know, when all the bad stuff was happening in Syria, there was a lot of people that were being converted in Syria, and Jesus was coming to them personally, and mm-hmm. just... revealing stuff to people, so it's not like the gospel's really not. We are privileged to be a part of it, but it's not dependent upon us. I mean, God can reach anybody in any place.
It's going out there, it is at all times, and but think of the blessing that we get when we participate in it.
Yeah.
So, alrighty. Well, praise God. Let's go ahead and gather around and pray for one another.
Grab a cupcake and grab some oranges, too.
Don't pray with your mouth full.